Wonderland, Chapter 12. I'm ready for a happy ending, are you? Henry didn't know what Mr. Duffy had said that had made Rose cry, but things hadn't been quite the same since. Rose didn't come to visit as often, and when she did, she seemed a little sad. And Mavis hadn't come to the gatehouse at all, and Mr. Duffy just wasn't himself. For one thing, he'd stopped whistling. He used to whistle while he made his hot dog for supper. He whistled when he gathered his fishing gear and headed to the lake, calling for Henry to come with him. And he whistled when he tidied up the trailer, putting his old leather slippers neatly under the bed, taking wet towels out of the clothesline to dry, and washing the plastic bowl that Henry ate out of beside the kitchen table. Lucky for Henry, Mr. Duffy still tore off pieces of his hot dog and tossed them into the bowl. But things didn't feel the same as they had a few days ago. Henry was pretty sure it had to do with whatever Mr. Duffy had told Rose that made her cry. So when Mr. Duffy went for walks down by the lake, his head down and his hands clasped behind his back, Henry made sure he stayed right beside him. And when Mr. Duffy sat on the lumpy couch and watched TV until he fell asleep, Henry lay at his feet, resting his head on Mr. Duffy's slippers. And when Mr. Duffy woke up in front of the TV and ambled off to bed, Henry followed along and settled in among the sheets next to him, waiting till he heard Mr. Duffy snoring before he allowed himself to drift off to sleep. Some nights, while he waited for Mr. Duffy to snore, Henry thought about his new life. He had never slept in the glow of a television before. He had never snuggled in the sheets of a person's bed before. He had never even eaten a tuna fish sandwich before. This life sure was different from his life at Wonderland. More than anything, he hoped he could stay here with Mr. Duffy in this little trailer by the lake. Rose. Rose stabbed at a few grains of wild rice and nibbled on them. Then she mashed her fork into the spinach souffle and waited for her mother to say, "Stop playing with your food, Rose." But instead her mother said, "Miss Jeter has given her notice, Robert." Rose's stomach did a somersault. She froze with her fork in the air, looking down at the spinach souffle. She wanted to cover her ears so she wouldn't have to hear what came next. But she stayed there frozen. Her father raised his eyebrows. "Oh?" "She's found another job," her mother said. "I guess that's just as well," her father said. "What's that supposed to mean?" Then they argued for a few minutes, Rose's father saying how her mother had never seemed happy with Miss Jeter, and her mother saying, "Well, do you blame me, Robert?" Then she asked what she was supposed to do now. She couldn't be expected to have no help. When there seemed to be a lull in the conversation, Rose asked, "What's her new job?" Her mother looked surprised to see that Rose was still sitting there. "Receptionist at Clyde Waterman's insurance agency." He glanced over at Rose's father, who kept quiet, and then she added under her breath, "That ought to be good." "Will she and Mavis stay in the apartment over the garage?" Rose asked. Her mother sat up straight, her back against the mahogany chair. "Of course not," she said. Rose set her fork down. "May I be excused?" Her mother opened her mouth to speak, but before she could, Rose's father said, "You may." Rose placed her perfectly ironed linen napkin neatly next to her plate and went upstairs to Grace's room. Mavis. Mavis rang the Ode of Joy doorbell. Mrs. Tully opened the door and looked surprised to see Mavis. "Is Rose here?" Mavis said. "She is. I need to talk to her." Mrs. Tully lifted an eyebrow and opened the screen door. Mavis fought the urge to hopscotch across the gleaming marble tiles and take the stairs two at a time. Instead, she hurried up to Rose's room, her bare feet sinking into the soft, thick carpet. But Rose's room was empty, so Mavis went down to Grace's room, and there was Rose, sitting in the window seat, hugging her knees and looking pitiful with a capital P. Mavis sat down beside her and said, I heard about Mr. Duffy. Rose's chin quivered, and she said, I heard about your mother's new job. And we have to move, Mavis said. And then she told Rose about Garden View Apartments. But we can still be best friends, Mavis said. We can do everything together at school. Rose's mouth dropped open a little, and she stared at Mavis. What school are you going to? She asked. Mavis jerked her head in the direction of the highway. Landry Elementary. But I don't go to that school. Disappointment crashed down on top of Mavis so hard she nearly fell off the window seat. You don't? She said, even though in her heart she had known that all along. Rose shook her head, and then she explained that she went to a school called Grove Road Academy in the next town over. A lot of kids in Magnolia Estates went there. Oh, Mavis said in a voice so tiny she hardly recognized her own voice. Rose rested her chin on her knees and stared gloomily out the window. What's that? Mavis said, pointing to something on the windowsill next to Rose. A silver dollar. Rose told Mavis how Grace had found it on the beach, and it was special. She gave it to me when she left for college, Rose said, putting the coin in the palm of her hand and drawing little circles on it with her finger. Then Rose told Mavis about Mr. Duffy's new job and how he would be helping to find homes for the greyhounds at Wonderland because it was closing. Why is it closing? Mavis said. I guess people don't go to the racetrack as much as anymore, and the dogs need to have better lives instead of just racing all the time. I know you're going to miss Mr. Duffy, Mavis said. I will, too. Rose nodded, and I'm going to miss you. You are? Rose nodded again. Mavis felt a little tingle inside. She was pretty sure no one had ever missed her before. When she moved away from all those places, had anybody ever said, "Whatever happened to that girl Mavis? I sure do miss her." Probably not. But here was Rose, a real best friend, who was going to miss her when she moved to the little apartment over the... Then Mavis said something she had never said before. "I'm going to miss you, too." Henry. Each day, as soon as the sun came up, Henry and Mr. Duffy headed down to the lake. They strolled through the dewy grass, listening to the birds chirping their good morning songs and watching the turtles in the lake climb onto logs to bathe in the warm sun. Sometimes Mr. Duffy threw a stick for Henry to fetch or pointed out a rabbit for him to chase. His hips still hurt him occasionally, but not nearly as much as it had when he was racing. After breakfast, they were off to the little gatehouse at Magnolia Estates, the beginning of a new day. But then one day, something bad happened, something that made Henry's heart race. Instead of driving to Magnolia Estates, Mr. Duffy drove to Wonderland. What was going on? Why was Mr. Duffy taking him to Wonderland? When Henry saw Roger come out of the truck to greet them, he began to shake. Then Mr. Duffy opened the door of the truck and motioned for Henry to follow him into the cinder block building with dogs howling in the kennels. Henry tucked his tail between his legs and hung his head. But when they got inside, Mr. Duffy and Roger talked a while, and then Mr. Duffy took an old blanket out of his truck and made a bed for Henry beside the desk. All morning long, Mr. Duffy looked at papers and talked on the phone. Henry stayed on the blanket, wondering what was going on. Was Mr. Duffy going to leave him here? Just the thought of it made Henry's heart ache. But then, at the end of the day, when Mr. Duffy motioned for him to get back in the truck, Henry's heart soared. Mr. Duffy wasn't leaving him at Wonderland after all. They drove back to the little trailer by the lake, and Henry chased bees and romped in the weeds while Mr. Duffy fished. Then the two of them had liverwurst on white bread for supper while sitting on the couch in the glow of the television. When the sun went down and the moon came up, the crickets chirped and the fireflies flickered down by the lake, and Mr. Duffy and Henry went to bed. Mavis. Once again, Mavis found herself whispering goodbye. Goodbye to the little apartment over the garage. Goodbye to Pete and Larry. Goodbye to Magnolia Estates. Rose and Mavis sat in the back seat of the Tullys' shiny black car on their way to the bus stop, staring gloomily out the window. Summer was over. School would be starting in a few days. Mr. Duffy was gone, and now Rose and Mavis wouldn't be together every day. Up front, Mrs. Tully set Ramrod straight and gripped the steering wheel while Miss Jeter complained. The humidity was ruining her hair. She had lost her reading glasses again. Why in the world did cable TV cost so much? On and on, as if anyone cared, Mavis thought, glaring at the back of her mother's head. She was going to hate Garden View Apartments, and she was going to make sure her mother knew it. She glanced over at Rose, who stared out the window looking small and pitiful. When they got to the bus stop, Mavis slammed the car door extra hard, ignoring her mother's look of disapproval. Rose helped Mavis get the overstuffed duffel bag out of the trunk, and then they looked at each other with sad eyes and droopy shoulders and did their special handshake in gloomy silence, slapping, snapping, and fist-bumping. Miss Jeter got out of the car, wiggled her fingers at Miss Tully, and said, "Toodaloo," before settling into the bus bench with her duct-tape suitcase. Then the bus rumbled into sight. Rose handed Mavis a small white box tied with a purple ribbon and quickly climbed into the front seat of the car beside her mother. As the Tully's car pulled away, Mavis opened the box. Nestled inside on a bed of tissue paper was Grace's silver dollar. Mavis watched the car disappear around the corner and thought about that day when Mr. Duffy had talked about vines and taters and told Edna to keep the coffee warm. She remembered how jealous she had been of Rose and Mr. Duffy being such good friends. But now Rose had given her the silver dollar that meant so much to her. Maybe she, Mavis Jeter, had finally learned how to be a good best friend. Mavis tried her hardest to hate that apartment, but actually it was kind of nice. It had a microwave and a dishwasher. She had her own room, and there was a soda machine down by the laundry. Mavis also tried to stay mad at her mother, but it was getting harder every day. Her mother liked her new job at Clyde Waterman's insurance agency. She worked from 7 to 3, so she would be home with Mavis after school. She had a big desk with a fancy computer and a view of the parking lot. Mr. Waterman loved the way she was so friendly with folks on the phone. There were some other women who worked there who invited her out to lunch. And the only thing she ever complained about lately was the bathroom faucet in the new apartment, which dripped all the time and kept her awake. Then one evening, her mother propped her bare feet on the railing of the balcony and said, I think this might be it, May May. I think Landry, Alabama is where we'll stay. Mavis had heard that before, so she pretended to be interested in a caterpillar inching along the top of the railing. I love this job, her mother said. Well, that was a first. Her mother had never said that before. And they're sending me to school, her mother went on. Mavis kept watching that caterpillar and said, What for? To learn about insurance, her mother said, in a voice so excited you wouldn't have thought she'd said that they were flying her to Paris to go shopping. And after that, she added, I'll get to do more than just answer the phone, so I'm pretty sure I'll make more money. Her mother took her feet off the railing and said, And guess what else? Mavis waited. I bought a car, her mother squealed. Mavis jumped up. Really? Really? Mavis could hardly believe this stroke of good luck. Will you take me and Rose to visit Mr. Duffy at Wonderland? Sure I will, May. Mavis sat back down and smiled out at the kids playing in the courtyard below. Her mother had never, ever liked her job before, much less loved it. She had never gone to school before, and she definitely never bought a car. This seemed like a good sign. Maybe things were going to work out in Landry after all. Rose. At first, when Mavis had called to tell her about her mother's new car, Rose had been excited. Miss Jeter had offered to drive them to Wonderland to visit Mr. Duffy, but Rose was pretty sure her mother would never let her go. She hadn't told Mavis that, of course. Mavis would tell her not to worry. Mavis would say, "Trust me." But still Rose worried. When her mother called her to supper, Rose clomped heavily down the stairs, across the marble foyer, and into the dining room. "The new gatekeeper starts Monday," her mother said. Her father said, "That's good," and concentrated on the roasted Brussels sprouts. Her mother made a sour face. "I'm so glad that crazy Mr. Duffy is gone, and we don't have to be embarrassed to have guests over anymore." When Rose heard that, a funny thing happened. First she felt sad, then she felt mad, and then she felt brave. She sat up straight, put her hands in her laps, and said, "Miss Jeter got a car. She's going to take Mavis and me to Wonderland to visit Mr. Duffy." There, she'd said it. Her bravery settled over her, making her lift her chin a little and set a smile on her face. A small smile, but still. Her mother looked at her as if she had just spoken Greek. Then she looked at Rose's father, whose mouth was turned up in the tiniest trace of a smile. Then she turned back to Rose and said, "Are you out of your mind?" "No, ma'am," her mother said. "Absolutely not." But her father said, "I don't see what's wrong with it, Cora." He stabbed a leg of lamb off the platter in front of him and turned to Rose. "Maybe I can drive you to Mavis's after work sometime." Her mother folded her arms and sat back in her chair, tight-lipped and red-faced. And then Rose's bravery began to grow, making her feel as if she would lift her right off the chair and spin her around the chandelier and carry her up to the French doors and into the yard, where she would hover over the potted ferns like a hummingbird. Wouldn't Monroe Tucker be surprised? With all that bravery spinning around her, Rose explained to her mother that she didn't want to have to do things with Amanda Sim anymore. She told her how Amanda liked going to the mall and talking about lip gloss, but she didn't. She told her mother that Amanda said mean things sometimes, especially when she was with other girls, but Mavis never did. "Grace thinks I'm lucky to have a friend like Mavis," Rose said. Her father nodded. "I agree." "I know it's not a new car," Miss Jeter says as she drove Rose and Mavis to Wonderland, "but it's new to me." She had hung a pair of Mavis's baby booties from the rearview mirror and taped a plastic flower to the radio antenna so she could find the car in the parking lot at the grocery store. When they got to Wonderland, Mr. Duffy greeted them with, "What's shaking, Bacon?" "Let's play gin rummy," Mavis said, shuffling the cards on Mr. Duffy's desk in the cinder block building. Rose and Mavis and Mr. Duffy played cards all afternoon, interrupted every now and then by someone calling about adopting a dog. Henry lay curled up on a blanket beside the desk, making little yipping noises as he dreamed a doggy dream. Suddenly the door opened, and a man with two noisy kids stepped inside. While the kids ran from kennel to kennel, making the dogs bark, the man exclaimed that they were looking for a new dog. "It has to be one that's good with kids," the man said, "and won't chase cats." Mr. Duffy introduced them to one dog after another. Chucky, Caroline, Gabe, Pippin. Henry got up from his basket bed and went over to greet the kids, wagging his tail and letting them rub his ears. "What about that one?" the man said, nodding toward Henry. Mavis looked at Rose, and Rose looked at Mavis, and they both looked at Mr. Duffy, who said, "That one's mine." Bingo! Their plan had worked. Mr. Duffy had fallen in love with Henry. Rose and Mavis slapped and snapped and fist bumped. At the end of the day, Miss Jeter drove Rose back to Magnolia Estates with that plastic flower flapping in the breeze. When they got to the gate and the new gatekeeper slid the little window open, Miss Jeter said, "Lou Ann Jeter, here to see Cora Tully." And then she turned and winked at Rose. When they drove by the Sims house, Amanda was sitting on her porch with some other girls. Rose felt confident float in through the open car window and settle on her shoulders. Here she was, Rose Tully, sitting beside her best friend, not worrying one bit about those girls. She waved at them. Amanda waved back. Some of the other girls waved as well. When Miss Jeter turned into the Tullys' winding driveway, she honked the horn at Monroe Tucker, who was trimming the azaleas. Then she waved to Mrs. Tully and some ladies drinking tea on the screened porch. Rose and Mavis leaned out the window of the car and hollered, "Yoo-hoo!" Then they collapsed on the back seat, giggling hysterically. When Miss Jeter stopped the car in front of Pete and Larry, Rose said goodbye and dashed upstairs to her bedroom. She sat on the canopy bed and thought about the very first day that Mavis had been here, inspecting Rose's things and saying, "Holy cannoli!" She remembered how she had been worried that Mavis might think having a doll bed in her room was babyish, but Mavis hadn't. Then Rose walked over to the dresser and looked at herself in the mirror. The Rose looking back at her was a different Rose from the one who had been here that day. Rose smiled and whispered hello to this new Rose, the brave Rose, who didn't have that tornado of worry spinning around her nearly every minute of the day. The Rose who had a best friend. The Rose who went to Wonderland with Mavis. The end. That was a happy ending. Night, girls.